Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we made it. We survived. We're here. And yet at the same time, the old world, it's gone. It is no more, never to be again. And that's just the way it is from day to day. It doesn't make a lot of difference what happens on a day, because the next day you start over again and you start anew. You can never go back. I love that REM song. It's the end of the world as we know it. Every day it's the end of the world as we know it, because it's a new world that we are building, that we are creating, and we are working to foster both in our thoughts, hearts, and minds, but then out in the real world that we live in here on this planet, as it were. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful day, day after the 21st of December, 2012. For those who were predicting demise, catastrophe, calamity, and so forth, hey, I'm glad you're here. I really am. And now it's time to look forward. Look forward to a program that comes your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. on a2zen.fm, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So we encourage you to check out the programs that we have on archive in our vault, so to speak. It's not even a vault. It's just a shelf of stuff that I keep there. And I encourage you to check it out and see what you think. None of the guests that I've had on the program have ever said that December 21st, 2012 was the end of the world, that it was going to be a physical calamity, that we would go the way of the dinosaurs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've always been optimistic. And as a matter of fact, last week's guest, Greg Braden, really kind of honed it in. And so you can go and listen to that program. And when this program is over, you can go and listen to this program. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we want you to get ready for the changes that will come. Now it's after December 21st, 2012. You can discover what is in store for you, your country, and learn what you can do to help facilitate the changes to a new and better world. And here to help me do that is a returning guest. She is the author of Transformation to the Golden Age in 2032, Worldwide Forecasts for Economy, Climate, Politics, and Spirituality. Diana Cooper, it is great to have you back again after the last time we had you on. 2012 and Beyond was your previous work. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, it's lovely to be here again, Richard.
It's almost kind of like Christmas early, because I know that a lot of people, and I remember, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, the year 2000 was fast approaching, and people were just going nuts because we had so incorporated the computer into our societies that and our cities and our nations, that when we went to 2012, they thought, or to the year 2000, they thought that, oh my gosh, computers don't know how to switch over to the next year. It's all over. I mean, my God, I won't be able to get my money out of the bank, and I won't be able to get gas and food, and on and on and on. And the reality was that we were sold a bill of goods. And unfortunately,
absolutely. Humanity does love a drama.
Yeah. 12 years later, we did it again. And unfortunately, a lot of people did get caught up in it, although I never did see any software to help me get my computer through 2012, which is just fine with me. But there was still all of this fervor and all of this excitement and fear. And we had you on the program to talk about that, and there wasn't one time when you spoke to us about anything that we need to be fearful about.
No. We are moving into amazing times, because what we've chosen to be here to experience is the bringing forward of a new civilization. And on the 6th of October 2012 was the birthing of the planet, it's like the whole planet is being birthed over this period of 20 years. And on the 6th of October, we had the moment when the waters broke. such an important moment that huge energies came in on that day, the 6th of October, and source energy came in, the seraphims, Metatron, one of the lords of karma, the white brotherhood, the Christ light, and they poured illumination onto the planet to help everybody on that day. Then, of course, you had yesterday, the 21st of December, when pure source light and all the rays and much, much more energy came in. And if for everybody that was prepared, it is an enormous illumination in order to help them on their ascension pathway and to ascend to much higher frequencies. And what happened yesterday was that a huge number of people shifted into the fifth dimension. And that meant their hearts opened. They started to care for people in another way. They started to be aware that it's not right, when, as we're all one, to have some people that have it all and some people that don't have anything at all. Mm-hmm. And so there's a shifting in thought patterns and changing in hearts and attitudes taking place everywhere on the planet. Lots of people are starting to open up psychically and spiritually and to be aware of things that they simply weren't aware of before. And this is all because of the energies taking place and that the huge amounts of downloads of pure light that are coming into the planet from now on. We are really living in extraordinary times. And if you're stuck in the old energy, then of course it's going to be difficult. But if you are ready to go with this extraordinary flowing forward of energy, then it can be wonderful. Now, the whole of this year, 2012, has been difficult. The reason is that there are many beings in the third dimension, many lower energies, who don't want the change. And they're trying to hold everything back. And so everybody has had a tough year in 2012. Mm-hmm. But energetically, it's going to be much easier next year, 2013, and beyond that, until, of course, the whole planet moves into the fifth dimension in 2032.
I have to, and we're going to get to the issue of 2032 in the sense that, okay, here we go, so to speak, here we go again. Okay, and there's another date out in the future that we need to be looking to. But I'm curious about the energies that are coming down to us. I don't want to use the term that we're being bombarded by, because I know that it's not in that context, and yet I'm wondering, because this subject comes up quite often, this particular topic of the difference between free will and choice and predestination. And you talk about this energy that is helping those of us who want to shift and change, and we want a new world, we want a different way of living, as we've been talking about on this program for over 5 years. What about that aspect in light of these energies that are coming down? Is it still totally 100% a matter of choice by each individual, or is the population over time going to be, so to speak, euphemistically speaking, dragged, kicking, and screaming into the fifth dimension?
It's neither of those things. As I understand it, this year marks the start of the ascension of every planet in this universe and every universe, so that there's a huge cosmic flow of energy taking everybody upwards. And the choice is whether you go with the flow and you relax into it and allow yourself to be taken into higher frequencies, or whether you resist it. If you resist it, then of course you are going to have a very difficult time. If you go with the flow and open your consciousness and move into enlightenment, then you're going to have huge opportunities opening up for you. And so the free choices, how you deal with it. At the same time, we all have our own karmic issues to deal with, our own family issues, etc. But We have a choice at any moment to raise our frequency beyond that problem, higher than that illness. Therefore, the illness can't take place. And that's the free choice we're having.
Well, it doesn't seem to me like much of a choice. Seems pretty simple which direction you'd want to go. But again, you are still given that opportunity to go whichever way you want. And I know that with a lot of conversation over specifically the economy and has been the conversation for the last 4 or 5 years or so, you know, because everybody's trying to, you know, fix the problem. Everybody's trying to put their finger in the dike and hope that this thing, the dam doesn't burst. And yet I'm sitting here wondering if that isn't part of the natural flow of things. In other words,
yes,
as devastating as it might seem, and that's an important a point to make, the perception, as devastating as it might seem it might be if the dam bursts, we actually need to be about the business of helping the dam to burst.
Yes, indeed. The old paradigm of greed and control and only working for yourself is now coming to an end. We're moving, thanks to the current of energy flowing, into a new paradigm of sharing, caring, working for the community, cooperation, doing what is right for the highest good. So this means that all dinosaur building businesses are collapsing, and we've already seen this process starting. Those that are not working with the right energy are no longer being supported in the higher frequency flow. Those working for creativity, for the good of people and animals, for the highest good of everything, will succeed. But something else is also happening. For, thousands and thousands of years, people have worked and slaved away just to put food on the table and a roof over their heads without any sense of satisfaction. And that has to cease. And souls, I'm not the personality here on Earth, but the souls are decreeing, we no longer want you to do that. And so people are finding themselves made redundant, their business is perhaps collapsing, and they are being called on at a soul level to find work that is right, that gives them satisfaction, happiness, joy, creativity, fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And what people are doing is, this is part of the resistance, what people are doing is going round in circles looking for the same old job again. And that's not what it's about. The message is, raise your spiritual frequency. As soon as you have your frequency right, the job that gives you satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment will automatically come to you. Now, nobody is saying this is easy. For many people, they are going through a crucifixion or an initiation into a higher level. And it's the tests and challenges and how they cope with that that bring them to the point where they can attract in the perfect work for themselves.
And
so nobody's saying that this is an easy transition, but it's for the highest good of the soul and ultimately the happiness of the individual.
Well, In an interview that I conducted, and it's probably now been 3 years ago, with a gentleman by the name of Jacques Fresco, visionary, a futurist, civilization architect, if you will. And one of the pillars, and I've shared this many times with people, one of the pillars of his new civilization is that it would no longer be a monetary-based civilization, that it would be a resource-based civilization, because all of the resources would belong to all of the people. You would still need distribution, but the distributors would not control and lord over the citizens that resource. And that there is more than enough food and energy on the planet right now to sustain us if we don't hoard, if we don't just, you know, go nuts. And he said that also that you would eliminate nearly all crime because most crime is committed for some form of monetary gain. And I got to thinking about that, too. And I thought, well, how do you think that's going to affect our health care? It's going to have an incredible release, if you will, of dis-ease and discomfort, because most of the conditions that we're facing today are as a result of the stress that we put ourselves under over just, as you've described, working day in and day out, trying to get enough money to just put food on the table. And this
okay.
is...
Okay. Can I give you my understanding of what's happening?
Please.
The entire planet is moving to a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So by 2032, we will be a fifth-dimensional planet.
Okay.
At that point, people are no longer coming from greed. They are working for fulfillment and what's for the highest good of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you don't have crime because people have moved to a higher frequency mm-hmm. than the energies that perpetrate crime. And there won't be money, as I understand it. And people will be living in small communities that are self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be eating locally, which is the food that's correctly designed by the universe for their bodies.
Yeah.
And they will be working together to create it. However, we then tend to think of that as a kind of feudal system, medieval, everybody working a peasant situation. But it's not going to be like that.
Right.
Because by that time, people will have opened up psychically. They will be connected to the elements and the elementals, and therefore food production will be easy. In addition, we will be, everybody, because they're all working for the highest good, they're working communally and locally, and most of all, because the energy is higher, they will have brought in spiritual technology. They don't then have to work particularly hard to get the food that they need. Like golden Atlantis, there was this 1500-year period in Atlantis, which was the golden era, when the people maintained their gifts, their high frequency, by relaxation. So people are going to be relaxed, stress-free. They're going to create their food easily. They're not going to be creating anything from plastic at all. And so new materials that are plant-based will replace plastics and most metals by 2032.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's no money, the people are going to be exchanging goods freely and lovingly. Everybody doing what they want to do for their soul.
Yeah.
So the old paradigm that we keep looking at, those the eyes we see with,
yeah.
are that people won't do anything unless they have to. But if your soul is delighted by doing something, whether it's growing vegetables or whether it's painting or whatever it is, then that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And so the paradigm that I see is just so totally different from what we have now. And as you have already said, if people are not stressed, in fact, they're relaxed, they're enjoying their lives, then their energy is going to be flowing and
yeah.
we won't be having the healthcare issues. But if somebody does go out of balance, which is what ill health is, then we'll have the vibrations that are correct, the sound vibrations, to bring them back into balance again and clear out the old frequency that's creating the disease. We'll be working very differently.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about your response to someone who would say, well, you know, that sounds really nice, but it sounds like a utopia. And even if you take the story of Atlantis, Atlantis eventually, according to the legend, you know, sank beneath the earth. Because they crossed a line somewhere. And so it's like, are we headed in that direction too?
No. There were 5 experiments of Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
of which only one created the Golden Age. I talk about it in my book, Discover Atlantis, because
mm-hmm.
it's absolutely fascinating. And it is the foundation for what is happening now except that the new golden age is going to be a frequency higher. So we have got even more amazing things to look forward to as the civilization moves on.
Well, this is, to me, it's. I mean, I'm intrigued. I remember after my interview with this gentleman, I kept saying, I want it now, I want it now. And I said, is this going to happen in our lifetimes? And he says, well, and he was 94 at the time. He says, probably won't happen in my lifetime, and it probably won't happen in your lifetime. And the reason is, and this was at the time we were doing this interview, he says, because mankind has not raised his consciousness to the level where these concepts would even begin to germinate, if you will. And yet you are telling us basically that with the energies coming in, especially as of yesterday, and in the coming years, that as we get closer and closer to 2032, that these energies are going to become stronger and stronger. That also kind of says too that there may be some conflicts along the way between those who are desirous of this new world and those who are not quite ready to let go of the old paradigms.
That is absolutely true. The thing is that everybody has to be either at the top frequencies of the fourth dimension or in the fifth dimension by 2032. Those who are not will no longer want to remain on Earth. It will no longer serve their purpose. And so they will move to another plane of existence, either in this universe or another, where they can continue with what is comfortable for them. And so by 2032, people will have a very different consciousness from the consciousness that we have right now.
Well, and for that matter, as the consciousness of today is different from that of 100 or 1,000 years ago, at least I'd like to think so, that there are more and more are more and more people that are starting to say, hey, you know, it's kind of like the criticisms that I hear of the Occupy movement, you know, and okay, so they don't have a list of 10 commandments, if you will, or a manifesto. Basically, you can be summed up by the phrase, we're tired of the way things are. We want change. We want something different. This is not good for us. And also, from what I've read in the ancient wisdom teachings from many traditions, this lifestyle that we are living in this world today is actually beneath us, that we were created for greater things, and those greater things are coming as we get closer to 2032. Is that a fair assessment?
It absolutely is. And, for example, the Arab Spring, huge uprisings throughout the Middle East. And the reason for that is because the new energy starting to come in, especially from the portal of Mesopotamia, for them, has meant that their consciousness has started to shift. They're starting to see the light. When you see the light, you're no longer ready to tolerate the prison of lack of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are shifting no matter what, everywhere.
Diana Cooper is my guest, and she is the author of her latest work, Transition to the Golden Age in 2032, Worldwide Forecast for the Economy, Climate, Politics, and Spirituality. And we're going to continue talking with her when we get back from our break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we want you to stay right where you are. And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, as we are talking with our guest, Diana Cooper, the author of Transition to the Golden Age in 2032, a worldwide forecasts for the economy, climate, politics, and spirituality. And basically, it's a process of getting you ready for the changes that will come after 2012 and discovering what's in store for your country and learning what you can do to help. It's kind of the analogy that I used at the beginning of our program about the economic dike, the dam, if you will, that's about to burst. And maybe we should be about the process of helping the dam to burst so that we can kind of move on. And I have to say, Diana, that I actually thought that same concept back in the mid-late 1980s I was working for a religious radio station that was very much of the paradigm of Armageddon and the end of the world and the Antichrist and then the Second Coming and so on and so forth. And there was part of me that was thinking, well, you know what? I'm not real happy with the way things are now. So how can I help bring about this end of the world? What can I do to precipitate this process so we can get to the good times? You know, because I got to tell you, these ain't real good times. And I know that a lot of people would really much rather be somewhere else. You know, some might say, well, I'd rather be on a beach in the Bahamas somewhere, sipping a Mai Tai or something and just relaxing. And I think that that's one of the things that we've all been curious about. We hear about our purpose in life and the thing that we should be about, and that if we just follow our purpose and do the thing that we're called to do, that the money will it will follow. But I'm beginning to understand, Diana, that there's a flaw in that, because if you fulfill your purpose, if you do your purpose, it isn't a question of the money will come. And quite honestly, it's not even a question of and you'll be taken care of, because even the biblical adage that Jesus said, you know, take a look around you, even the birds who fly through the air, you know, they don't toil, they don't work, they don't do much of anything, and yet they're taken care of. So how much more will you be taken care of too? But we've lost sight, lost connection.
I think it's a wonderful affirmation to make. I trust the universe to look after me totally. And when you make that affirmation, a lot of the fears just fall away. And it moves you into that level of trust that allows all these things to come to you. Now, one of the things about after 2032, the new civilization coming in, is this business of whatever you focus on, you start to draw towards yourself. Now, if you totally trust that there will be a transport available to you, a taxi, if that's what you want to call it, outside your home when you want it, then you can relax totally about your transport. And that's what we're moving towards, a time when everyone is telepathic, everybody is working together for the highest good. You totally trust the universe to look after you. So you know that if you are sending for what will then be remote transport, then it'll arrive outside your house at the moment you need it. We're moving into something completely different from anything we can imagine now.
And it certainly has no label that we have today. In other words, we can't put a label on it and say, and it's going to be this, because we have no points of reference in a manner of speaking, right?
Well, no, that's absolutely true. We just have to expand to the possibilities that we still think are science fiction, but are actually very, very close.
Yeah.
One of the problems has been with the old technology that it's working on low frequencies. By 2032, all computers, for example, will be working on high-frequency energy. This means that we won't have any of that low-frequency stuff that goes on in the Internet. That will just have completely eradicated by that time. And there will be inspirational things. There will be joyful things, creative things being sent around the world. And that's going to shift everybody from this backlog of third-dimensional stuff that's holding everybody back into everybody being inspired and feeling good.
But on a spiritual level and on that higher level, that also foretells of the paradigm shifting for the souls coming into this world, whereas right now the paradigm is that they're here to have these experiences of a duality, of conflict and resolution and love and hate and fear and so forth. Whereas it sounds like the new souls that are going to be coming in over this period of time up through and including 2032, their, if you will, mission is going to be different.
Every single person that embraces oneness fully is beyond duality. And so, yes, as more and more people embrace oneness and understanding that everything is divine, honor the animals, honor the trees, because everything is part of Source, then they have moved into that state beyond duality. And that can even happen now. But by 2032 and beyond, it'll be the norm rather than the few individuals that are at that level.
So the
everybody is then harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that if you kick a tree, you're kicking yourself. You do not harm anything. The moment you are completely harmless, you are totally safe. Because when you radiate out complete harmlessness, nothing but nothing is going to attack you.
Hmm. It sounds to me also like the current religious institutions are going to go by the wayside because they'll no longer really be of service.
Every religion is a pathway up the mountain. And when you reach the top, you look down and you accept every single religion as a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that as the dogma is removed from all the religions, which is slowly, slowly, slowly going to happen over the next 20 years, then there is only the beauty and the essence left. And people will follow whatever religion feels right for them, but it will be spirituality,
mm-hmm.
not dogma-based belief.
Tell us a little bit about Diana Cooper. How did all of this start for you? Because this is quite remarkable that you would have these kinds of insights into this information. For those who didn't have an opportunity to listen to our first get-together about a year or so ago when you were here in Santa Barbara for an event. So tell us a little bit about your background and how this wonderful process to this latest book, Transformation to the Golden Age in 2032, came about.
Oh, it started for me 30 years ago, and I was getting divorced. I had no religious or spiritual background, wasn't psychic in any way, shape, or form, and I was at rock bottom. I was in complete despair. I could not see a future. And although I had no spiritual background, I threw myself into a chair and said, if there's anything out there, show me, and you've got 1 hour. And that's when an angel came in and took me on a journey for 1 hour and showed me my future, told me that I was to be a spiritual teacher, and then left me. And I then had to spend another 10 years working on myself, understanding things that I didn't understand before, and opening up until the angels came back again and asked me to tell people about angels. And I think that's when my journey really began.
Hmm. And you have numerous books out, obviously, about Atlantis. And I know that there are other other pursuits, other directions that certainly you could go on. But it seems to me like everybody seems to be now sort of rallying, if you will, coming together for that common purpose of changing the world, of making this a better place, and of making it a better place not just for a few, but for everyone.
Absolutely. We have to recognize that everybody's here to experience, as well as every bird and animal and every single thing, and that we have to make it as joyful and as equal and as fair as possible for everybody. And when we can do that, then it is paradise. We've created it ourselves, because we all create our own reality. So we don't have to wait for the future to create our own heaven. We can start creating it with our own consciousness right now.
There have been some television programs, and I'm not sure how much television you watch, but I know some of our listeners will have probably watched programs like Terra Nova and Revolution, Heroes, even a program called Jericho, based on scenarios of the United States in particular. And one of the thoughts that always seems to cross my mind when I see these kinds of programs is, what are they preparing us for? Why are they producing this kind of a television program now? And how in the world did they manage to get this across the desk of the producers? Because this seems like it's on the it's like right on the edge of what we are talking about here today in terms of transforming the world, and they're dealing with it in a more physical aspect. But the reality is that and in calamity, but the reality is that these transformations, they've been happening throughout human history.
Yeah, and what's happening now is, of course, in everybody's consciousness. Anyone that's being born and incarnating at this time will have been prepared and will at some level understand the huge shift that they've been allowed to participate in. And so it's going to be expressed, the consciousness is going to be expressed through films and television. We have the apocalyptic consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and the fear, and then we have the higher, bringing in the new ideas and the new possibilities.
Yeah, and certainly we're about bringing about those new ideas and possibilities. I still remember probably about a year or so ago when I was looking for different guests to have on to talk about 2012 and the Mayan calendar and so forth. And I came across a website, and I wasn't really clear as to the focus of this individual. So I was able to contact this person and got them on the phone, and we started talking. And they started talking about how when the asteroids, if that's in fact what it was, that hit the Earth and destroyed all, 97% of all life on the planet, and was making the comparison, that was what was going to happen in 2012. And I started listening to this person thinking, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to talk to this person about this in the context of an interview? Yes, they're entitled to their perspective and their viewpoint, but I just didn't feel that was really constructive. It was counterproductive, basically, to what we were trying to do with this program, and that is, there are new ways of living, and each one of us is finding them for ourselves. And then we're finding out that, oh, you do that too, and you do that, and we're finding out that people are doing the same kinds of things, and that there are ways of, I'm not sure if the term, Diana, is minimizing the trauma, if you will, or the struggle. But the reality, I mean, you used the term on October the 6th, the water broke, and you're referring to the birthing of this new world. Barbara Marx Hubbard even used that analogy of, we're going through a birthing process, and it's
absolutely
not always easy.
And there is something else, of course, happening, which is that the Earth has been taking in a lot of darkness for a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
We've been under third dimensional energies have been coming Earth because we've sent out so many Sputniks and spacecraft and things, so this has been accelerated. They're made with third dimensional consciousness, and so a lot of this energy has been kind of attacking us and trying to hold us back because it's drawn in other third dimensional energy. However, yesterday on the 21st, the Earth has sent from Hollow Earth, the very center, a new protection energy. And this is a fifth-dimensional light that's gone around the whole universe, and then specifically around Earth and the four planets connected, stars and galaxies connected with Earth, which are Neptune, the Pleiades, Orion, and Sirius. And this is protecting us so that we no longer can be bombarded with that old energy. And so automatically it's going to make it easier to move forward. And all the lower energy of wars and everything else, famines, etc., that is held in the Earth has to be cleansed. Now, we have a choice. And this is happening everywhere. People are sending light into the Earth. They're sending love around the ley lines. They're sending high-frequency energy into dark places. And they're trying very hard to clear it. And this is wonderful. The more we clear ourselves, the easier will be the transition. But anywhere that we don't clear, then nature will do it for us. And I think this is where a lot of people are getting the Armageddon ideas from, because that's where nature will clear with storms or hurricanes or earthquakes or whatever. But we have a choice. We either set off now and clear it ourselves, mm-hmm. or we connect with the elementals and we work with the elements so that we can use our power to command the water, to command the fire, and then it doesn't have to be so difficult. For example, if you know that there is a storm coming, if you go out into your garden and you bless your trees and you talk to the elementals of the fire, of the water, the undines, and you talk to the elementals of air, the sylphs, and you don't have to see anything or feel anything. You just send out thoughts and you say to them, please cleanse this area gently, calmly. Then you don't have that violent cleansing that causes the destruction. Every human being has huge amounts of power if they will only use it right.
You know, that's something that that I've also heard, this incredible power that we do indeed have. And obviously, in my points of reference being what they are, I mean, even Jesus said it, you know, they was asked the question, you know, will we be able to do what you're doing? He says, well, yeah, but you're going to be doing bigger and better things than me, you know.
Absolutely.
And we have lost sight of that.
Yeah. And people don't realize how simple it is, how easy it is to let go of the fear and talk to the elementals. Somebody emailed me the other day, and they were in Spain where there were some terrible fires taking place. And she said she remembered what I'd said. She went out and she talked to the salamanders, the fire elementals, and said to them, will you stop now? And she said that the fire came right up to their house and stopped. And people said, how come it's just stopped? And it stopped. Their house was not touched. And she just had talked to them and said, look, stay calm. You've done enough now. Don't need to go any further. And I think that more people are going to have to practice this until they realize that they can do it.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Diana Cooper. She's the author of 16 books in 26 different languages. Actually, 19 books in 26 different languages.
Her current 20, it's gone up. 23 now.
Now it's 23. Okay, and the tote board continues to roll.
The latest.
That's all right. The latest work is Transition to the Golden Age in 2032, and it's dealing with worldwide forecasts for the economy, climate, politics, and spirituality. And we, of course, had her on not too long ago dealing with 2012 and beyond, and well, we're now beyond 2012 by a day, and we're talking about all of these different aspects of what's to come now. I know that a lot of folks are concerned, and I think that the concern that most people have, at least at present, and especially the ones that we read about in the news, has more to do with being invested or vested, if you will, in the old paradigms, in all of these different things. I keep seeing these commercials on television, Diana, where on the one hand, they have this one set of commercials that says, hey, send us your gold, we'll give you cash. And then a few weeks later, you see these commercials for gold coins, or at least gold-plated coins. And I'm thinking, got to be the same company. And what they've done is they've taken the gold you sent them, and they've reformulated it, and now they're trying to sell it back to you. And of course, a lot of people are promoting the sale of gold in general because of its value. And I've been talking with people lately who have been asking the question, who set up gold as a commodity? Who set it up that way? Because let's just say in the new world, I have chickens, and those chickens lay eggs. and you come to my house and you have a fistful of gold coins and you want some eggs. Well, guess what? I'm not giving you any eggs for your gold coins because I can't eat gold. Now, if you've got something of value, I mean real value, you know, that I can truly use, if you have, maybe I need a roof fixed and you can fix my roof in exchange for eggs, sure, you bet. I think that, and some would call that today, they'd call that bartering, but the reality is it's not just about the exchange of equal, like, I guess the word is commodities, if you will, or items, products. It's about helping and assisting and supporting one another in their life and livelihood. And what's wrong with that?
No, but that's absolutely correct. Because all these people selling the gold, etc., that's the old paradigm.
Yeah.
By 2032, it won't even be bartering, because that there's always, if you're bartering, that says that you're putting a value on one thing and not another. And what it's going to be is exchanging with love, just for the highest good.
Yeah.
And so it isn't about saying my eggs are worth more than that. It's because you need the eggs, here they are, and oh, thank you. If you want to give me something in exchange, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because everybody is going to be working for what is needed, what's right for everybody else. When you have that, you just have a completely different attitude towards things.
And the universal law applies in that situation where the universe is going to take care of you, period. It's not a question
Absolutely.
Of an equal and opposite exchange. It's a question of the universe is here to take care mm-hmm. of you, too.
Absolutely. I totally, totally, utterly agree. I think that it's going to be beyond anything that we can imagine. And also, yesterday, an energy came in, which meant that if your heart was open and you could bring in the light from Sirius and the ninth dimensional light from the cosmic heart, then you could experience true happiness in your lifetime. And this hasn't happened since Golden Atlantis. And so there are new wonderful energies that are helping everybody to lighten up and enjoy life.
And I have a feeling too, Diana, that there are going to be some endeavors that we as a species embarked upon in the middle part of the last century, in terms of space travel, that with these new paradigms and so forth, it isn't even going to be a question. We'll be able to basically travel wherever we want, with or without a vehicle.
Okay. Well, we do travel already, and most people a lot of people astrally travel in their sleep, but we don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And as we bring back our frequencies and we can do those things again, people will be teleporting and remembering, doing it consciously. But for space travel, as I understand it, it's not till about 2050 that we'll be going out into space again, but this time with a very different consciousness. Because as long as we had the consciousness of the Challenger, or even the Titanic that cannot be sunk, it's so huge, then we weren't allowed to do those things. When we go out into space with the consciousness of exploring God's glorious creation, then it will be allowed, and then we'll be able to do that again.
Is there a significance to December 21st, 2012, in that it also is taking place on the winter solstice?
Yes. The reason that it's happening on that day is because it's at the darkest moment that the light comes in.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's the reason why that day was chosen.
Okay. And now, you don't have a specific date for this golden age. It's just a period of time. And is the apex in 2032?
It starts. It's really when we flip over, enough people move into the fifth dimension, not just on Earth, but in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the start. We move into the new golden age.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that in terms of the entire universe. Certainly there is discussion and conversation that's been going on for a long time in the context that we are not alone in the universe, in spite of the fact that the paradigms kept shifting and we were told that we were the center of the universe and we were the only ones here and that the sun revolved around us and that the earth was flat, and then we find out that it's round and so on and so forth. What about these other beings in the universe, and I'm going to say at least as far as the physical manifestation, the non-human beings, at least as far as our, you know, our news media and science fiction and so forth. What about these other beings? Are they going through the same struggles that we're going through, or are they at higher consciousness levels?
Well, a lot are a higher consciousness level. We are in a fourth dimensional plane, which is a physical plane. When you move beyond the fifth, then you can't actually see or hear spirit. It's more like gas. Mm-hmm. And so that there are many, many beings, like angels, for example, who are seventh dimensional at least, that, or archangels that are a higher frequency again. There are many beings that are amongst us that are a much higher frequency. It's just that we do not see them in our physical reality. And, of course, there are beings that then inhabit all the other asteroids, planets, stars, galaxies in this universe, and in all 12 universes. But each universe has a frequency band, and there are frequency bands right up to the 12th dimensional universe. And what's happening in 2012 is, and it started yesterday, is the trigger for all the universes to move to a frequency higher. So a new first dimensional frequency universe is being created. The 12th dimensional frequency one is being reabsorbed into the Godhead. And we are moving from the fourth into the fifth dimension. And so this is this huge current of energy flowing upwards, taking us all to new levels. And beings from many, many very high-frequency universes are incarnating at this special time or are already here to help with this shift that's taking place, especially for us on Earth.
So the paradigm shift, if you will, is affecting the whole of the universe and all of the creatures that live in it.
Absolutely.
And across the dimensions, for that matter.
And across all the dimensions, yes. Everywhere.
And
so this is why it's so vast, because this is the time it's all starting. As you know, this year is the end of the 260,000-year cosmic era.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the end of the old, and then we start to step into the new.
Well, it's you know, and of course there are those who tell us in the news media that certainly, you know, they're exciting times, or if you're talking about an election, this is the most important election in American history, and on and on and on. And of course they say that every year, you know, every time the cycle comes around, they say it's the most important. And I'm fascinated also by the history programs, the documentaries that will be talking about the various events that are going on that they're focusing on, and then they'll get to this one moment in the story, and they will say to this one moment, they will say, and this is the moment that changed the course of history. And it dawned on me when I was watching it not that long ago, watching one of these programs, wait a minute, how do you know what the course of history was in the first place and that this event changed it? How do you know that this wasn't the course that it was supposed to take? This is always the fascinating thing with me as far as man's arrogance that he thinks he knows what's going on. And then comes
who wrote history.
And who, exactly. And of course, who writes the history and so forth. And I often wonder, you know, I think, well, okay, either you are psychic and you knew what was coming, and that this was a change in the course, or it's just a phrase you're using that actually means absolutely nothing, because this was the natural order of things.
Well, I think that they're running on a four-year cycle,
yeah.
Whereas we're now talking about a 260,000-year cosmic era.
Exactly. Now, in terms of this whole issue of politics, we kind of have gone in this direction. If in fact we're going to be shifting into this new paradigm into 2032, it sounds to me like the current way that politicians function and operate is actually going to be null and void. It's like, you know, we have no use for that attitude and that mentality. Okay, so it was great. You know, you served for 57 terms. How wonderful. We don't need that anymore. And you're no longer one of the privileged few that gets to determine how the rest of us are going to live.
This is absolutely right, because the way things are going to move is people are going to start making decisions by consensus. By 2032, people will be so telepathically connected, all wanting what's for the highest good, that when they meet over a project, they will make their connection, and out of it will evolve what is the highest good, and they will go for that. There'll be no pyramids of power. Everyone will be considered equal.
Mm. It reminds me of the Baha'i Faith's councils. Of nine at the various levels within the faith. And I remember it was described this way, that each member of the council, basically when they are addressing a particular issue, they put their ideas on the table. The moment they put their idea on the table, it no longer belongs to them as an individual. It now belongs to the group. And it is, and so when they make a decision, that idea is not the idea of Bill. This is now of the collective. And so when they when they make the final decision, then it's the decision of the group. And there is no dissenting vote. It doesn't mean that it's a unanimous vote. It just means that it's you go in with a prerequisite. You go into the council as a member of this council with the attitude that this is not a power position. I don't hold any power in this body, and that my job is to help to resolve the various issues within the body of believers that I am a member of, to the best of our ability. And that even when they make a decision and they say, this is our decision, here, go off and live your life, it doesn't mean that that's over. Because if they've made a decision that doesn't work and this person comes back, then they decide again. But nobody's blamed, you know. And this, to me, is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know.
And what a forerunner of the journey we're going on in terms of consciousness and understanding.
Tell us a little bit before we wrap up our program, and you've touched upon it a bit in terms of our working on ourselves and cleansing and clearing some of the stuff, and that if we don't do it, that Mother Earth and Mother Nature will do it for us. That takes me into the realm of climate and weather and so forth. And there are a lot of folks who have been hit by various, as they call them, natural disasters, hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and even heat waves where, you know, crops are decimated and so on and so forth. So share with us a little bit about that process. Obviously...
We're going through a process in the world of the whole world, the climate in the whole world is changing. Everywhere is going to change. Some places might become much more hostile to live in. But by 2032, we are going to be in communication with beings from other planets that have got much, much more wisdom than we have. And for example, one of the places will be Australia, where there will be a lot of spacecraft coming into Uluru, and where they will be learning about how to change the rain and change the climate. And they will share this freely with the world in a totally fifth-dimensional manner. This means that they're going to start reforesting large parts of Australia. Places that are currently uninhabitable are going to become pleasant because they will be able to change the rainfall and the heat and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to find that as soon as we have the consciousness to do this wisely for the highest good of all, we will be allowed this information. But if we do it selfishly, it won't come to us. And so it's not just applying to climate. As soon as the whole world is at peace, they will bring forward for us methods of using power that doesn't cost the earth, that uses ocean power, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Though we use some at the moment, we will be able to use enough to power everything, but only when we can do it wisely. We have to be trustworthy before we receive the power.
So then there is a certain element of overseeing that's been going on by others.
A huge element of overseeing. There are many, many mighty beings who are watching over everything that's happening on Earth. And if something is not, we're not doing it with the right consciousness, like the Challenger I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
then the mission is aborted and it's not allowed to go forward.
Interesting. Interesting. Diana,
and yet we still have free will to build nuclear power stations, even though a lot of countries have now stopped that after what happened in Japan.
Yeah. And, of course, there are those who say, well, that there was no way to foresee that scenario. And I even think about 9/11, 2001, you know, the same concept there. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. The people who were in charge were supposed to be able to think of all kinds of wacky scenarios that could come up. So when I think about someone saying, well, there's no way we could have ever foreseen a 10.0 or 9.9 earthquake out in the ocean just off of Japan that would cause a tsunami that would wash into, well, that's your job. You're supposed to think of these things, these possibilities, and then say, you know, maybe we shouldn't build this power plant here. Or, you know,
yeah.
Or maybe we shouldn't do this or that or the other thing because there is the possibility that this could happen.
I think that if you've got rich and poor, if you've got greed anywhere, you are going to have scenarios that create those dark things happening. And that's why we have to eradicate the root cause of it, which is some having plenty and some not having enough, and honor everybody on the planet, honor other cultures, honor people's religions, whatever they're doing, so that people feel loved enough not to want to harm you. And this applies not just to people, it also applies to nature.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Where I live presently, I live up at the top of a hill, if you will, and I know that there are a lot of people that live down below me. And so I have taken, not that I do this kind of work, period, but I've taken the philosophy that if I was going to do an oil change or a radiator flush on my car, and I was the person living below me, would I do that if I lived above me? No, I wouldn't let it drain out onto the ground and just run down the hill. And that's a very simplistic, but I think it's a valid argument. Before we wrap up our program, Diana, two final questions. Hey, I didn't get a chance to ask you these questions in our first interview, so I'm going to ask you them now. Who is Diana Cooper?
I'm not quite sure whether I'm meant to give a philosophical answer or something else to that. So I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Because it would a spiritual answer or a normal answer.
All right. And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing?
Oh, to help the whole world move into the fifth dimension more easily. We're moving everybody into the light. And just offering them the opportunities. They don't have to take them. but offer the understandings and opportunities.
I want to thank you so
much. I've got a DVD out that helps people live in the fifth dimension. It was to prepare for the cosmic moment and to live in the fifth dimension. And it's so important that everything tried to stop it coming out. But it is switching people's lights on.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. I'll let our listeners know that this interview was not so easy in coming, but I have to say that it turned out to be quite an extraordinary program that that we've been able to get out some good information. And I thank you for your patience, Diana, and for being with us here on the program, and look forward to having you back in the coming years.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Diana Cooper has been my guest, and her book, the latest work, is Transition to the Golden Age in 2032, Worldwide Forecasts for the Economy, Climate, Politics, and Spirituality. We encourage you to pick up a copy. Go to her website. We are linked to her website, and it'll help you to get ready for the changes that will come after 2012. It'll help you to discover what's in store for you and your country where you live, and learn what you can do to help. And Diana Cooper has provided some good information for you in the book, as well as at her website. She has, you said it was 20 books out presently, and I'm sure that there are going to be a lot more as the days and weeks and years go by. And again, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this time, love to love.